masach, curtain, which is there, which is always there, in machut, to prevent the cancellation and annihilation of malchut as an entity, because no vessel can tell, an energy force, look, don't come close. Because I'm saying from a logical point of view, if I have an appliance which is 110, and I connect it to the 220, right? I'm in Israel where they have 220. The vessel has, it burns it out. Current is not governed by the vessel, right? And this is even in Ein Sof. Would the Or Ein Sof be restricted from entering if it's so desired? A vessel couldn't say no, kind of battle, wage a war with the energy. No, don't come in. No such thing. Because, and so how come it does happen, that we've asked time and again, the electrical current that could energize a generator, yet provide that 5-watt bulb with just the amount of current necessary. We understand that because there is something called a masach, a curtain that says you can't come in. I mean, this is now intelligence. If we look at current as an intelligent energy, not something as an inanimate form of an entity that provides movement or initiates movement. It's an energy intelligence. It has intelligence. So when it approaches the 5-watt bulb, the 5-watt bulb says, look, this is to the extent by which I can handle you. So you can't give me everything that you could, but you have to restrict. That's because of the original restriction. So now there is an inbuilt system, an inbuilt masach in everything that exists. Because upon contact, which is what the Ari says, and when the Or Ein Sof, which is the energy intelligence of electricity, what is electricity? Why does it provide movement? What is its internal essence? The answer is Or Ein Sof. What is the energy intelligence that decides, my hand is going to go up or go down? Or if this is a ball, it's going to go. What decides all that? The scientist, from a superficial point of view, will begin to explain. Electricity is something that's created by, let's say, dams and pressure and this, that, and the other thing, and out comes electricity. That's what Ben Franklin found, right? From lightning. We are discussing the internal force of that force. In a word, Ein Sof, the order of Ein Sof. So it's right here. It's not somewhere out, somewhere else in another galaxy, and up and subsequently evolved and emanated down to our universe. So everything that has movement contains the Or Ein Sof. Everything is. Does this glass contain energy? It has atoms, and there's movement in these atoms. How come the atoms are? The way the atoms are moving in this glass. I mean, under a microscope, it's incredible. How come the cup stays that way? Why doesn't it disintegrate from an electric wire that heats up? Or a 110 heating up with 220 electrical wiring just melts down, or an atomic reactor can melt down if the vessel can't hold it. How come it doesn't? Because there's an automatic masach that says, now look, you atoms, I'm in control. Now, while wood You know, if from the on outside I threw an atom bomb on this glass, could it tell the bomb, look?
No.
I don't care that you're right next to me. You've just exploded, you know, but I'm going to remain intact. Can't do that. We know it can't do that. But yet, why don't we ask ourselves for a moment, how come? Or if I take a stick, I can break this glass. Take a little rock, I can break this glass. The rock, is the rock or the force of the rock as powerful as the movement of the atoms going on in here? Is it? When I throw a rock, mm-hmm. is it as powerful as the atoms? Am I as powerful as the atoms?
No.
How come this glass or this table can contain the atoms that are in such constant dynamic movement? The answer is the atoms, as long as they are not split, as long as they are permitted to remain in their true essence, must conform to the laws and principles of Masach. Everything in the illusionary Malchut world, including ourselves, can talk back to this powerful energy force whose internal essence is what? Or Ein Sof. What is the energy intelligence of a proton? Desire to share. We don't look at these atoms as something the way the scientist does, an energy intelligence. Therefore, it's so simple for we laymen to understand how come these atoms conform to the principle of this cup in saying, you're in me, I'm covering you now, you're going to conform to the laws of Masach that says, I, meaning Malchut, and the cup, the essence of the cup, the material of the cup, whose essence is Malchut, desire to receive. Any desire to receive, any true desire to receive, like a table, like man, can command this powerful atom, this movement of atoms, you know, just by the mere force of the atoms, you know, still can become contained in this. But this is already built in, and that's with man. This is the power of man. He also is made up of 99% of atoms, yet his physical body, when he himself is not in command, disease and breakdown and things of that nature. But there is always, as the Ari says, "Va'az hika or ein sof yidbarach mitpashet atsham b'mesachu." Even in Olam Atzilut, the first world, there is a haka'a. Don't think for a moment, incidentally, you know, as laymen, that there isn't a stress factor going on here. There is. There is. Why is there a stress factor? Why is there a stress factor? Because the atoms do not want to be contained. What is the energy intelligence, internal energy intelligence of the atom? It is total sharing. What is the nature of sharing? To expand. It wants to become revealed. It doesn't want to become contained. It wants to break out and be all over, be connected, in fact, with other atoms and be part of the one unified whole. Here it's no longer as one unified whole to the extent of 1%. To the extent of 1%, these atoms here are now divorced to an extent from the atoms out here, right? We call that an illusion because in essence, the atom didn't change its character. Its character, it remains the same, except the law and principle of Masach, which says, the curtain says, like the original Tzimtzum, you will have to conform. You will have to conform to my desire, the desire of the vessel. So why was that established? You already learned in volume number one. Because of bread of shame. Because of bread of shame, that principle must exist. That the atom, as powerful it is, Ora and Sof, as powerful as it is, must restrict to whatever extent. Must restrict. Must restrict. Okay? So therefore, when the Ora and Sof came in contact, he calls it struck the Masach, which is side by side with the desire to receive of Malchut, va'az b'koch ha'ka'ah shel ha'yerida, and through this, through the strength of this beating, of this impact, shel ha'yerida, and the reason it's called for, of this descent, why do we say that the Ora Ein Sof, the light comes down? Does that mean it's somewhere up there? Never should we interpret, but the Ari must use that kind of language. Yirida means when it has gone through the process of going from Keter down to Malchut, it obviously, from an external point of view, loses its force, right? The atoms here are limitless. Here become contained. That's Yirida, going down. Or Yored. Ask the Israeli why you call him Yoredim. He goes down, he leaves this high point of Israel, and now goes down to, and when you go to Israel, you make Aliyah, right? You go up. I don't know what you go up to, but you go up, right? Is it higher? Is it on a mountaintop? No. Then what does it mean going up? What does it mean going up? Energy. What's that? Energy. That's all we're talking about. Going down, if that's where you're living, then you've gone down to Malchutz of a lesser degree. So you say, Aliyah in Israel means what? You're going up and capturing more energy. It doesn't mean that. The energy is not the same here as it is there. I mean, are there different atoms maybe in the United States than there are in Israel? No. So what is different? Yirida, going down and going up. Is there movement in spirituality or in energy intelligences? No. What makes lower or higher is the extent of the desire to receive of the vessel. If the vessel has a stronger koach, stronger intelligence of saying, I want, then the Ora Ein Sof reacts to that. Oh, I want more? Then he can handle more. The generator says to electrical current, I want more. It can handle more. The little 5-watt bulb says, give me a little. I can't handle more. So Israel, compared to every other geographical section in the on planet Earth, has this aspect of the greatest desire to receive. Therefore, the potential of greater revealment of the energy, it's like the generator compared to the 5-watt bulb. But, of course, there is a danger. If it does not have the force of restriction, then what happens? A real blowout. You ask, because you've got this generating force, right? A generator, but the filament doesn't work. Do you get a little fire, or can it blow up the whole building? If a 5-watt bulb can't handle the current, then that's the end of it, but not in the generator. So therefore, it's all relative of whether going to Israel is a bummer or it's going up. You know, it can be a disaster. Because if you don't know how to connect with what's going on over there, it's a total disaster. And we see it. There's no nation in history that after 40 years is almost dead I'm talking about the nation. You know, everyone wants to leave. You know, I mean, which nation was established? Liberia was established 100 years ago, right? You don't hear about a mass exodus. In Israel, they talk about a mass exodus. People want to leave. Why? So they'll tell you, the newspapers, not everybody really. It's only 19% of the young people, 30%. But do you read in the newspapers about Frenchmen, 19% want to leave, or 42% want to leave? Or in Liberia, do you hear everybody wants to leave? No one discusses leaving. And this nation's only 30 years. It should be full of life and vigor. There's a new country, right? It's only 40 years. No other nation. So it could be a yirida. But it would not be a yirida. The light there is there because the very essence, the intelligence of that land says, give me more. It has the vessel and capacity to handle more. That's why it's called the energy center of the world. But if the Masach is not working properly, and it's the energy center, it's like a generator, then it blows up the world. And therefore, there must be an exodus of non-spiritual people from Israel. And the sooner that exodus takes place, and I am encouraging non-spiritual people to leave Israel. And that doesn't mean what you believe in. But if you're non-spiritual, you haven't got the sharing aspect, which is what spirituality is all about, the worst thing for the world is that those people live there. Worst thing. Because they will create. You know, the generator could be in the basement. Is that right? But it's going to affect not only maybe even the building, but let's say it's generated by nuclear power. Will it only affect the building? If the nuclear reactor, it'll affect thousands of miles. In fact, maybe the entire planet Earth, Chernobyl, affected everybody. Now, on that level, that was Chernobyl, right? On another level, that's what's happening in Israel. Not only in Israel, where there, the dangers are greater because the impact and impasse between the light, the Orein Sof, and the vessel, there is greater. And Pagash Sham, and he meets it there, Chazal Alot Besoda Ochoze, Lemalalim Komo, it must return. Here's the first time we learn about Or Chose. It must return. There must be sufficient restriction to turn back that light, to ascend to the place where it came from, to the outer circle, if I can use a quick illustration, right? Must go back there. And that's when you have not a dissipation of energy, but you have a continuous movement of the energy, right? The outer circles continues to move. The impact never ceases.
Well, that's what it means by you only get as much as you can handle. The amount, right. The degree that has to return the light to work.
Unfortunately, that's not completely true. You get as much as you desire, but you can't maintain it only to the extent that you can handle. Right? If he does not, as the Ari says, upon contact, upon impact, he does not return that which he has asked for in the form of Or Chose, then it's like a generator or a nuclear reactor that couldn't handle it, because the handling is not the capacity. In other words, the United States, speaking from a geographical point of view, of energy intelligence, this country, this land has an energy intelligence of what? Malchut. How much does it want? It doesn't want as much as Jerusalem. The earth doesn't want as much. Therefore, if it doesn't want as much, and if people here are not restricting as much as they are in Israel, it's like the 5-watt bulb. The negative effects of not applying the masach, of not applying the restriction, and not creating the Ol Chozeh, you know, quiet. But in Israel, it can't be that way, because there is a natural tendency of the land, of the energy intelligence of the land, to draw down that. So who controls that? Man. Only man. This is what he's saying here. So when that happened, and we want to still create a higher and expanded elevation of consciousness, we want to connect our brain via the Ari to the Olam Atzilut. And the only way you can connect, for those of you who missed it last time, is by learning what happened before things even as we know them happened. Olam Atzilut is long before the Olam Asiyah, the Olam of action, right? So he's teaching us what happened there. And so if I know there, then I can really move back to a wider area and take in, and therefore the Kabbalist knew how to expand his consciousness by learning all about expanded consciousness. What does it mean, expand? I expand my mind? You can't expand your mind. But you could create a link with a consciousness called Atzilut, which embraces all of the consciousness of the world of action. Is that logical? That's what we're learning. What happens there? And since knowledge is the connection, knowledge is the connection, and so if we will know what is going on in Olam Atzilut, while, how does that affect me? You know, like Rabbi Ashlag and his, the Mitnagdim will ask, you know, those rabbis opposed to the study of Kabbalah. I mean, what interest is it whether, what goes on in Olam Atzilut, what goes on with the angels in heaven? You know, why do I have to know that? I've got to be practical, right? Being practical meant destruction, generation after generation after generation. I mean, what was the knowing about? What did he know that even could have, you know, alleviated, made it a little easier? No, you have to know what's going on up there, because once you connect there, then everything that follows or on a lower level is understood, and you know how to react. You cannot react to a situation unless you know what you're dealing with. So he's telling us what happened in Olam Atzilut. And when this impasse between the Or Ein Sof and Malchut of Atzilut came together, and it restricted, because there was an automatic restriction, the only place there is no automatic restriction, you know, is only within man. There's automatic restriction in table. There's automatic restriction in the glass. That's why the glass has the capacity to maintain the atoms within it, because there's a built-in masach that says, I don't want you revealed to the full extent. That means the glass can command the atoms. Now, some of us might think, as my difficulty with the physicist, is he says, yes, man is a participator, he says, in the process. Why? Because the way he understands things is the way it's going to appear to him, which is logic. But does he determine how they're going to react? Don't go that far. Well, if this cup can determine, cup can determine the extent of the force of atoms, which obviously should not be contained in something called glass. Now, if this masach can determine the movement of the atoms, you mean man can't? Are we less than a glass? Or maybe we are higher than a glass. Maybe our intelligence comes of something of a more substantial energy intelligence called Malchut. And the answer is that man has the greatest desire to receive. And because he has that greatest desire to receive, he has the potential of controlling the entire universe. And when he does not, or meaning when he reflects his activity in a negative nature, you have blow-ups all over the world. The same way is if this glass couldn't, you know, if there was too much energy coming in, the glass couldn't handle it. It would blow up. Or a reactor can't handle, the vessel can't handle it. So here, in Atzilut, it's built in. Va'az nigbar olam Atzilut b'pchinat hakelim. And then, at impact, you have from Keter down to Malchut, all of the vessels are the way they should be. Va'az chazar ha'in sof l'tlabesh b'hem b'sod atzmut. Then, and I'm not going to, we're going to study this within the Rabbi Ashlag. Then, the Or Ein Sof became enclosed in the secret of Atzmut. Because the sun, before it reaches that collector on top of the roof, while we can say, there's the power of the sun. We see the sun. We see the ray of the sun coming down to the collector, right? But does that force warm up the tank, the water tank on top? No, not without the collector. How come? Because it's Or Yashar. It's direct. It's not called Atzmut. The word Atzmut, it's not something of substance. Think for a moment. The rays of the sun are not something of substance. But you know, until it reaches that collector, that water remains cold. Is that right? Not until the collector, by pushing back, so to speak, reflecting or deflecting the sun, does the water then become heated? Not before. If there was no collector and I put out water, it may get a little warmer, but it doesn't get hot. Water doesn't get hot. We're going to learn soon why. Why doesn't it get hot? Boiling hot. It'll never get boiling hot, even if it stays out there all day. Maybe the metal can disintegrate, but not the water. Or you can say the water ultimately will dissipate. When? As long as it's contained in the tank? No. Water that is, let's say, in an ocean now has a direct impact. So in essence, there is Malchut within the water, and so it acts like a collector. There's an impact. Impact means the involvement of Malchut. Is that right? When water is in the tank on top of the roof, where is the impact? With the water or with the tank? With the tank.
If you paint the tank black, it's going to take it in.
That's right. That's right, because everything but black contains, we will learn, this automatic masach. Black does not contain the automatic masach. Does not. That's why black appears around a burnt out bulb.
There is no masach in black.
No. Practically not.
In a mirror, in order to reflect, it's actually, mirror is like light in itself. It has that aspect of sharing, of the giving.
That's exactly why it doesn't burn out.
We have the same phenomenon about if you are in altitude, okay, which is actually closer to the sun.
Okay, yes, it's freezing. Freezing.
The closer, right? You get to the impact of.
Shouldn't it be
Earth?
The other way around? That if you're down on the floor of Earth and the sun's shining on you, if you hang out there in the summer sun for a couple hours, you can be burned to a crisp. You get closer to the sun at 35,000 feet up, you'll freeze to death. Is that logical? You're closer to the sun and you can freeze? Beautiful.
I was thinking of it last week.
I don't get the connection to what we're saying.
The closer you are to the source of the sun, it should be hotter. In fact, that's why you can't send, you know, any spaceships, because if we get too close to the sun, you know.
But they are themselves, because they are Malchut, so they are the air force.
Wow! Can you imagine what you just said? A scientist hasn't thought about that yet. Because as you get closer to the sun, he has his own now degree of impact. He has his own Malchut. Like we create our own impacts here in our own domain. But on a physical level, do you affect what's out in outer space from a physical point of view? No, you have no connection. It's too far away. But once he's close to his own domain, he has his own Malchut. Okay. I think we understand that. And then in any event, on a general level, the Ein Sof, and you'll notice he always repeats, V'az Chazar Ha'Ein Sof. We're always discussing the force. The force is Ein Sof. There is no other force. Everything other than Ein Sof is called what? Vessels.
Vessel.
No, even Keter, that there is a discussion between the Kabbalists whether Keter is really the light, the force, or Ein Sof, or is it a vessel? Even that seed is still what? The motivating force? Relative to Ein Sof, the seed is still a vessel. Still a vessel. That force called Ein Sof is what must become manifest. So when it becomes manifest, we have another word now. Besod Ha'atzmut, the secret of Atzmut. Atzmut. Then it's something. It's Etzem. It's considered something. The sun is not considered anything until it has reached impact. Until it has reached impact. Kenal lachen ad hamakom shemagia or Ein Sof al derech hanal nikra olam asilut. Now you see. Until that place where the or Ein Sof reaches is called olam asilut. Ki ha'or atzmo hu rak shehu achar it avuto. Because light itself is only when? After it has penetrated and made that avut. It avut means what? It's become denser. What do you mean it becomes a denser? Again, he's using a word only so that we can begin to connect with these energy intelligences we're discussing. We are not discussing, you know, the rays of the sun. We're discussing that force inside the rays of the sun, because the rays of the sun are what? Merely vessels. So to have the collector, and to have that water heated up, there must be a contact, an impact, itavuto. There must be a something that takes place that is called dense. What does that mean? Contact with Malchut. Malchut is that desire to receive. That is the true vessel. At that point of the true vessel, of impact between the light and the vessel, only at Malchut, where it now becomes denser, but the Masach says no. After Ein Sof, the Malchut says no, it restricts, which is the principle of bread of shame, to push it back. So there should be a feeling of, well, who is now creating heat within that water tank? Is it the sun or is it the collector? Who is it?
Is it the collector?
Isn't it the collector? It's not the collector? Without the collector? Sun, do it. Can he do it? In fact, if the tank is 35,000 feet up,
you always need the two parts.
That's the part that removes bread of shame. That's the secret of making atzmut. There must be the yitavuto, where the Or Ein Sof becomes so enveloped, and, you know, I mean, in a vessel, it is so diametrically opposed to each other, to itself. Is that right? Light is sharing, and now it's got to be confronted. And accepted by what? The opposite. Desire, an intelligence of desire to receive. You know, like it could be revolting, but it's the only way that this is going to happen. All right, that's the Ari. Now, can you imagine, we've gone through this piece of Ari, which is one of the most difficult. I mean, if you read the Eitz Chaim straight, you see, this came straight from the Eitz Chaim, that's volume number one of the Kitvei Ari, and you read it, it has, but all of a sudden, I think everything we've discussed and translated here is understood by everybody. At one time,
No way.
All right. So we go to Ayin, which is 70. Begishat or ein sof b'mesach meduma lebet varim kashim. The meaning, the impact of or ein sof with the mesach is likened to two things, two solid entities. Kashim. Shechad rotze lefrotz v'legvol hasheni. Each one wants to penetrate the boundary of the second. Look at the way he describes it. This meeting of the minds, the meeting of the minds, right? The meeting of the mind of the light, which says, I want to expand. I want to become revealed. I don't want to remain, because even in Ein Sof, without a vessel, the thought of creation could never have come about. Even the Or Ein Sof required, I don't want to say it was necessary, I mean, there was no, you know, this is the first lesson in Kabbalah for the beginners, like, does that mean the light needs the vessel? Is that what it means? If it can't be revealed without a vessel, can it? If the energy intelligence of the light of Ein Sof is to share, can it share without a recipient? No. Does it need a recipient? Yes. Does that mean, therefore, that the light has a need? No. And the answer is no. Because if it was yes, now I'm not saying that's the answer, then that means there is a need. There's a ratzon lekabel. There's a desire to receive.
Yeah, that would turn it right back to being a vessel again.
Right? We have that problem. The answer is no. And I'm not saying it no for you to accept that, but I don't want to deal with that again. But the answer is the light does not need the vessel. In other words, if it doesn't have that vessel, then there is something that is materially affecting the light of Ein Sof, right? Like there's a desire to share, and the desire to share doesn't have the vessel yet. So it feels a lack. I mean, you know, it's like you want to do something, and you're being held back by what you feel, a frustration. Is that right? Frustration means lack. If this was the intent of the light, or Ein Sof, to share, and it cannot manifest itself as in the sharing principle, then you could interpret as something lacking within the Or Ein Sof. And the answer is no. It is, the Or Ein Sof is never affected. We human beings, despite the fact that we want to share, and if we do not share, then we could feel the lack. Like you have good advice for your friend or child, and they don't want to accept it. You feel a frustration, and we're assuming now that you know it's good for them. Now, certain things which we can all commonly accept as being good for everybody, right? And drugs for children are not good. Can anyone say it is good? No. So here he's trying to share the knowledge, and the kid says, no. There's a sense of frustration on the part of the parent or whoever is making an attempt to enlighten the individual. There will be a sense of frustration, a sense of lack. Does that same idea exist within the confines of Or Ein Sof, of the light of the Ein Sof? The answer is no, it does not. All right? So, but this is the energy intelligence of the Ordinary Self. It wants to penetrate. And the vessel has this inbuilt or voluntary masach, which says, bread of shame. No. So there is an impasse between the two. Asher Hasheni mizdakef lenegdo bekol tokef umonea oto milasig mashu migvado. See the atoms in this glass? We can see the glass that I'm talking about. This glass is at an impact constantly with the atoms. The atoms don't want to be restricted. They want to expand. They want to do a job that they can do. And yet, they have become restricted. But does that mean the battle is over? It's happened, and it doesn't, and it's all over with? No. Without going into the phenomena, you have all witnessed, one time or another, a glass bursting for no reason. All of us. So they'll tell you a sound. Or, if the water is too hot, it can burst the glass. What happens? The capacity of the glass, the masach, the restriction, to restrict the expansionness of hot water. What is hot water? It wants to expand. It wants to be free, right? Like light. If there is no capacity to restrict, so it breaks. One has to give, which leads us to believe that there is always a constant impasse or impact between the two. And it always exists. Each one wants to penetrate in any event. The boundaries, the gvul of the other. Is that what in essence is happening? Picture these two energy intelligences meeting. Each one does the atoms in the glass or the hot water. What does it want? It wants to be restricted, or would water, the tendency of water is to do what? Not only to run to flow freely, it can even flow up. It can even flow up against the force of desire, the energy intelligence of the desire to receive. This glass, the capacity of a vessel is to what? Litlabesh, to enclose it. Because how else could it be contained? Now, if there was no collector, we wouldn't have hot water. So do we want the energy force of the sun to be contained? The answer is obviously yes. Because if the sun was not contained, I wouldn't have hot water. So that's the purpose of the collector, to contain. But by containment, that energy force, energy intelligence of the collector is doing the opposite of what really the sun wants to do. The sun wants to expand. It wants its energy to be in a continuum. The paradox. So each one wants to penetrate the boundary of the other. Hine pekisha kizu mechuna haka'a. When the Yari is talking about haka'a, now, war of minds. That's an expression. That's really where it's all at. Even in the glass with the hot water, the sun with the collector is meeting of minds, meeting of intelligences. If we can begin to think and observe things around us as meeting of minds, you've already achieved an elevated state of consciousness.
You get the picture.
You get the picture. That's right. That's right. That's right. This is what the Ari means, haka'a, striking. The picture right there. You want to turn it right up there so everyone can see the... There they are.
More.
Impact. There's impact. That impact is not just two animals, two lambs. It's It's meeting of minds. The minds of these two animals are at an impact with each other. That's with people. That's with the glass and hot water, with the collector and the sun. Everything. And an old glass. What happens? Clothing are at an impasse with what? With the outside. Clothes wear out. What do you mean it wears out? What do you mean it wears out? There is the outside that wants to come in. The clothes prevent the energies all around us from wanting to come in. Ultimately, the vessel breaks down. Physicality, the bridge, and the automobile. Is that right? The automobile is the free-flowing thing, free-flowing energy intelligence, or the man behind the wheel and the bridge is maintaining the stress. He's the vessel. Is that correct? Crossing the water. What is the vessel for that automobile or for that man? The vessel. Ultimately, the vessel gives. You know why? Because what is stronger, the Or Ein Sof or Malchut?
Or Ein Sof.
What came first? Whatever came first is stronger. That's why the body gets older. Why does the body get older?
That's why we call it recycling.
Right.
Bottom line.
Right. That's right. You mean it's necessary and it's an advantage. You imagine if we kept going with an old body and they give us another opportunity, Hashem, you know, says, okay, I'll throw out this body and I'll bring you back now in a younger body. Don't we want that? No, we really don't.
Yes and no. It's yes and no. But when you are now in the younger you body, leave you like it.
When right? When you get in the older body, you would rather be in the younger body. So he says, well, if that's what you really want, look, yeah. I'll put an end to it and I'll bring you back into another. No, he's nobody. Saying, nobody.
I'd rather start it all over again.
What's that?
I'd rather start all over again.
Let me see the new one first.
Let me see what I'm getting into.
Let me see it first.
Let me see what I'm getting into, you
mean. Actually, we do pick it, don't we?
Literally. What's that?
We do pick it, actually.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, these are things we say all the time. Yeah. All the time. And now we understand it. The only reason we understand it is because we are not dealing with these entities just purely on a physical, in a physical form. Because that's totally concealing. But as energy intelligences. And you know, you could talk to your food. You want to enjoy your food better? When I say enjoy it, again, not only for the Ratzon Lekabel, but the, you know, I want to enjoy it, so I have had more strength. I am spending time already eating, right? Why should it be a total waste? Isn't it a total waste after I'm finished? Especially if I have indigestion afterwards, it's even worse, right? So, but an evening out, right? An evening out. An evening out. The culprit is the food, right? Why can't you spend an evening out without food? Right? People go out for dinner. Why do you have to go out for dinner? Go out to the living room. let's understand, right? Go out to the living room. The answer is, because in essence, food can be for our benefit. And can we get along without food? You can't get along. So unconsciously, we say, let's go out for dinner. You know, we'll be strengthened by dinner. Is that what everyone is thinking of at the time? No. And then on the contrary, he wants to go out to dinner rather than go out to the living room when he's going to get indigestion. And that happens on an occasion.
After
right?
dinner, they go out to dinner.
What's that?
After dinner, you go out to dinner.
After dinner, they go out to dinner again. They go out for a snack, you mean?
Sure. No, they go out for dinner. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, for dinner.
Yeah, I see what you mean. You mean even when it's not even time to eat?
The fourth meal already.
Yeah. Okay. Right. But that dinner, if you know how to talk to it, I mean, and it serves a purpose, You talk to food. You talk to food. You even talk to the cup. Do you know that cup can be a very revolting if he doesn't like you? Oh, are you telling me that people don't say, "Hey, this cup feels good. I don't know. I don't like this cup. Give me another cup." Right? Or, I don't know, the vibrations of this place, you know, let's go to another restaurant. Well, you're going out for dinner, you're going out to eat. What? You know, like every day people talk that way, but they're not even conscious. Can you imagine how robotic? So we're discussing this, and if we discuss it in the form of energy intelligence, that everything around you is not just inanimate, but everything is really dynamic. You're in control, but if you're a robot and you don't know that this is an intelligence, as we are referring to this cup as, or everything around me as an intelligence, food is an intelligence. If you don't know that, then you're just hoping that the dinner place is the right, the food is the right, everything is right, but it's like hoping for it. But are you in control? In other words, everything around me. Right? Everything around me is really governing us. I mean, where do you buy a house? Do you buy a house that you want? Do you buy a house or the neighborhood buys you? You buy an automobile or the automobile buys you? Do you make the choice in the automobile or this is the thing that people are doing? Do you buy designer's clothes? So the clothes buy you? You don't buy the clothes. You buy what everybody else is buying. So who's buying who and who's running who? To the extent that because we are losing, we have lost that aspect of we are the determinators. We'd like to think we are, but in essence, we don't live that way. All right. V'lafuke, now there's another kind of impact. Lafuke mipkishat nozlim she'ena monim zeh lezeh melashig gvul u'mitarvim yachad. Let's take two bodies of water that meet, right? What happens ultimately? Does one give to the other? A wave. And then what? Unity. Here there is never unity, is there? They meet. You pour the water into the glass, right? Solid and liquid. Two separate entities. They meet and they live together. But they do not become one unified whole, ever. Is that right? Ever. So he's telling us that, in essence, there are two kinds of impasses. There is the solid, the impasses or impacts of two solids, of each one wanting to penetrate the other, or though that impasse that two integrate one with each other. The only time you can have integration is water. If it's not water, meaning what? What's that?
Water or liquids?
Or liquids. Oh, I'm sorry, I used the word water. I meant liquid.
What about fire? Fire will integrate with itself?
Fire and fire integrates with each other. That's what Sadhya Gaon says. That's why he says two fire signs, you know, will like each other. He does not mention, incidentally, two water signs liking each other. He doesn't say that.
Why?
What's that?
Why?
I don't know why. He does not mention it. Like, he doesn't say that they do not. When he speaks about he says fire and water obviously are two signs that will never integrate. Each one are two energy intelligences which will remain in impasse. This is the first one. Then there are those energy intelligences which can integrate one with each other. Which are they? Liquid. What is the capacity of liquid? What is the difference between liquid and solid? From an energy intelligent point of view, what's the difference?
Sharing.
Because this vessel says what? W. I want to receive. It hasn't got the desire to share. Can the vessel share? Man can make use of this vessel in sharing.
Because it doesn't share.
That's right. Because it doesn't share. Okay, good. Good. What happens here with the order Ein Sof when it meets up with its vessel? What happens? It becomes miluvash, right? Enclosed. And what does enclosing mean? Limitation. Concealment. So in other words, every impact, either more, less, but never the same. It's not the meeting of like two liquids. That while they may have... Because they are not...
What's the question?
That's right. Water and oil now. So first we started off by two bodies of water. That was nice. They both flow and become one unified whole, integrated. Fire and water, bigger or smaller, never will be the same. Each one wants to devour the other. Water and oil, beautiful. What's oil and what's water?
Two sharing.
Oil is more sharing than a table, but oil already.
Partly solid.
That's right.
Is what?
It's partly solid.
Partly solid.
Thicker than water. Thick. It's denser.
It's denser.
Why? Because it comes from a vessel?
That's right. Well, the fact that it's denser. Remember he used the word denser?
Yeah.
Denser indicates for us desire to receive.
It comes from a solid. Oil what? Comes from a solid.
I caught that too.
Yeah.
I caught that too. That's right.
Its origin is solid.
Its origin is solid. So I wanted to throw out a little monkey wrench and say, honey. What about a well?
But honey.
Well water.
Yeah.
Where's it come from?
From the earth?
Also from the earth. And we know that insofar as mikveh is concerned, and that's why hopefully I'm crazy enough to think that I want to dig a well so we'll have the mikveh of the Ari here, right? Because all well water is connected. Rainwater is not all connected. Each body is by itself. But all well water comes from the same spot. But that also comes, that's why is it more powerful as a mikveh? Why is it more powerful than rainwater? Because that has come from the epitome of desire to receive. Where does gravity come from?
From the inside. Right.
That indicates to us the power, the intelligence of its desire to receive, right? It wants to swallow up everything. That's why all Capricorns are noted to become tsanim, stingy people. But why? Because it comes from the earth. There's other earth signs. But just in passing, so you know what Tevet is about, Tevet was supposed to be the month of completeness and fullness. And that's why, in fact, the sign is Ayin Bet. You know, the Bet for Saturn and the Ayin for Capricorn. The two, you know, the sign of the zodiac, both created by these two letters, Ayin Bet 72, which is the secret of everything. Ayin Bet letters, right? The 72 letters. Secret of everything. That's a clue. The Ayin Bet is a clue. So what happened? If there's so much there, but something happened and it was all taken away from Capricorn. In the something cosmically happened and it was all taken away. Now you understand. So the Capricorn had it all, and you know what happens when things are taken away? You know. Yeah, and you feel the lack even greater. Now you've got to retain. I mean, hold on for dear life now, right? That's why, a Capricorn could be a very frugal individual. I won't say stingy, so we'll say frugal, right?
So actually the hold on is like the cup, like the atoms in the cup. It's held, and eventually it have to break release it.
That's right.
The new possibility.
That's right. Because the order itself, in essence, is still more powerful. Water, because they're both closely related to what? The energy intelligence of sharing. A Mayan, look what it's got to do. Not like rainwater, which comes from up. This has got to go against the energy intelligence of what? Earth. Go up. you know, and go right through the domain, you know, right through enemy territory, right? It's not like water that has come down freely. Here he's got to, you know, got to battle to get, come to the surface. That's why the mikveh of a Mayan is so powerful. The bath, you know, we saw in Peru and the Shirley place. You know, they come from the earth. Why are they more powerful? Like the Dead Sea, right? You have the, you know, these like in the hot springs of Arkansas. Oh, because it's so heated up from the earth. That's not the power. This is the way the scientist explains, you know, the hot springs, why they're so good for you. Why are they good? Because they contain the minerals of the, it brought up the minerals of the earth, right? Bring up the minerals of the earth. I mean, let's make a bath
and put
all the minerals in. We have all the minerals of the earth right in front of us. No problem. Sell it. A new product. Right? No. Because it comes from beneath. That water has made an effort to go against gravity. And that's what we're saying. When you go against the tide, you're doing something. But if you flow with the tide in water, I mean, everyone knows what happens in water. It doesn't even have to be the hot water. But that's even more. I mean, you could be even in a bath. Don't you feel relaxed? Oh. In a Mayan, if you can tune into it, if you can connect with the Aries water, get out of bad experience. You don't need hot springs. Everybody comes out, feels something. But you can feel that same thing and connect with the well water. What a trip. Like that, an out-of-body experience. You forget where you are.
Yeah.